It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are live from the Microsoft Store in New York City. We've got the anniversary update and official release date coming up. We'll talk about that and all the features to expect. We'll also give you news about Skype, the Microsoft Band, and a whole lot more. It's next Windows Weekly. Stay here.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 472, recorded Wednesday, June 29th, 2016, at the Microsoft Store in Manhattan. Six buckets of features. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you fresh, high-quality ingredients to cook delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. And by Atlassian. Unleash your team's potential with collaborative software tools like HipChat and Jira that will let you work and communicate better together. Visit Atlassian.com to learn more. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to more than 100 job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. And fittingly enough, Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, the stars of our show, are today in Manhattan, where they are at the Microsoft Store on Fifth Avenue. Hello, Paul. Hello, Mary Jo.
Hello.
Hello, Leo.
You guys look like you're having fun. The studio audience and everything. The good-looking, extra-intelligent people.
Yep. Gosh,
yep.
Apparently out of work people.
Yeah. Plenty of time, middle of the day on a Wednesday. Why not? Come on down.
Yep.
Are you going to do a meetup after this or anything? Anything we should?
We are. Yep. 5 p.m. Rattle and Hum West.
We just checked it out early to make sure the beer was okay.
We did, and it is.
Passes muster. Yep. All right. Good. Well, I'm sorry I couldn't be there again this year, but I have.
Yeah, noted, Leo. Noted.
I have other shows. That I need to
but this
do.
Is the best one.
This is the best one. This is the fun one. So, and by the way, when Microsoft, I mean, Seattle Sun-Times, no, Seattle, what is it, Post Intelligencer?
Nope.
Is that the name of it? What is it called?
Seattle Times.
Seattle Times.
When the Seattle Times does the story about the woman who sues Microsoft for $10,000 and wins, I noted they had two Windows experts, quotes from two Windows experts in that story. First, there's Mary Jo, and then there's Paul. I think somebody at the Seattle Times listens to Windows Weekly as my guest.
I didn't even read that story, Leo, but I'm sure that's true.
Yeah.
I read it.
Who was it? Was it Todd?
Matt Day.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, Todd's gone. What am I talking about?
Yep.
Todd's a geek.
Well,
Todd,
anyway.
Plus, Todd was from the Seattle PI. Anyway, yes.
The PI, which is now the T-I-M-E-S.
Just now the R-I-P.
Mm-mm-mm. How are things at the Microsoft Store? You were here 6 months ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually it was 6 months ago.
It was.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. We walked in and Paul said, they always say the Microsoft Stores are empty, but look how busy it is right now.
I had to wade through a sea of people to get to the elevator.
I hear. I mean, it sounds like you're in a French cafe on the Champs-Élysées.
I know. I kind of wish I was, actually.
There should be some accordion music. I'll work on that.
Was this construction happening behind us last time we were here?
No. I thought it was. No.
No.
Well, you mean the big green and orange sign behind you?
No, that's normal. I'm talking about the...
Isn't it a church?
Yeah, the church.
They're building a church. Wow.
They're building a church. Yeah. The first major church effort since 1665.
Well, we haven't built one in a while. It's probably time. Yeah. Well, good. So here we are. And, of course, there's lots to talk about. As they sit in the beautiful confines of the Microsoft Store. Now it's working.
I hear some French music.
There you go.
We got it working.
Hopefully what's going to happen is like a double-decker bus will go by and some people will take pictures from outside.
Wearing berets. baguettes.
Right.
Yeah. It actually sounds a little like elevator music. I think I'll cut that.
Yeah, yeah.
What is there to say today? Well, there's a lot to say. Of course, I saw Mary for Joe's story last night, late file. Microsoft has announced the day for the anniversary update.
Yes. Ta-da! August 2nd. But we kind of knew that because it leaked a day earlier.
Microsoft. Yeah.
They accidentally posted their press release headline the day before, so we didn't know it was going to be August 2nd.
Yep.
But that date is significant for a number of reasons. That's the day that Windows 10 Anniversary Update is going to be generally available. And not just for PCs, we think. Also for phones, for Xbox. Yeah, I asked.
You did?
Okay. I asked. And Terry Myerson, the head of Windows, said, our goal is to have every version of the product available across all the form factors August 2nd.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it includes HoloLens, too.
Okay.
And IoT devices. So,
nice.
Yeah. August 2nd is a big day. Plus, I think for you, it's also
a big day for me, too. Yeah.
Why? Is that Paul's birthday? Or?
No, it's the day I'm flying home from.
Of course it is. Yeah. Hopefully do you think they actually do that at the big leadership meetings? When is Paul in the plane?
Obviously Gabe and Donna now have joked about always shipping builds when I'm traveling. And when I talked to Terry last week about the date, I was like, hey, by the way,
just so
you
know,
that's the day I'm flying from France. He says, I know, we share your calendar.
Oh, God. It almost feels true.
It does kind of feel true.
Yep.
Yep. What else did they say? They said that when they're talking about Windows Anniversary, which won't be a surprise to people who've been testing it, they talk basically about six buckets of features.
By the way, one of which was completely surprising, right?
Which one?
It's an unusual measurement, by the way. I mean, sometimes you say six dozen features, but six buckets.
Well, there are actually a lot of features, but I think they're trying to break it down. How do we talk about this in public?
Sure.
So which one did you think was surprising?
The classroom one.
Oh, I didn't really count that.
It's like
that
really high-profile features like Windows Ink and Cortana improvements and so forth. And then you get to the last one and it's classroom improvements.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. But the one I noticed, of course, was the enterprise security stuff that they're talking about a lot with the Windows 10 Enterprise, Windows 10 Anniversary Update. So there's two things I noticed in that. One is... the thing that we've been calling enterprise data protection all this time is now called Windows Information Protection.
Right.
This is a feature that Microsoft's been talking about for 2 years, and finally it's going to be in the anniversary update. It's in short, it's file-level encryption for enterprise users. So that's going to make it in. The other one that's going to make it in is something we talked about on Windows Weekly a while ago called Defender Advanced Protection Threat Intelligence. And that service also is going to make it into the anniversary update. There was some back and forth. Would it make it in? Would it not? And it is going to be in there, too. And then there was some gaming. Gaming stuff.
Yeah, nothing to worry about too much. Yeah.
Cortana was, use Cortana above the lock screen.
Yep.
And, of course, with Edge, there's going to be the extension support with Edge. So that's also going to make it into the anniversary update. So it's a pretty big update all in all.
It's, the biggest update to Windows 10. I mean, Windows 10 has only been around for a little while, but...
a year.
15.11 came out end of last year, obviously. Mm-hmm. It was a big update. This is big. This is bigger than a service pack. I mean,
it is.
I don't know what we'd call this, Windows 98 SE or...
Or a feature pack.
Yeah, maybe. That level of update. Yeah.
Right. So I think one thing that I did get to ask Terry Myerson also when I talked to him last week about this was, so where's Redstone 2? As you can bet, that didn't go over that well.
Surprised they still call you.
They still call me.
Yeah.
All he said was, maybe your sources will tell you.
Oh, burn.
Yeah. Yikes. Maybe Terry could become one of your sources.
Maybe.
So this is Redstone 1.
This is Redstone 1. Right?
So you, like any sensible user, screw the one we've got. Let's see what let's see what's next.
Right.
Right.
That's always the question, right? As soon as something is done, or even before it's done, everybody wants to hear, okay, what about the next version?
Well, and we know they're working on the next version as soon as the next one ships.
Right. And so what we still think as of today is that Redstone 2 will be out in the spring of 2017. That's what the last thing our sources told us.
Do you think they're going to do like 6 month cycles from now on? It'll be like, that's kind of how they'll do it.
Roughly to a year.
I think it was supposed to be every six. I think the original goal was to have two to three updates to Windows 10 out every year.
Mm. Yeah.
So this year is the aberration, right? This year there's only going to be one, we think. They wouldn't confirm that, but we think just Redstone 1 this year.
Yeah.
And then next year, back to two updates, we think.
Emily the Strange in our chat room asks kind of a germane question. Is this, because they've said this is the last version of Windows, right? Is that now where we stand, where we're just going to have two or three updates forever and ever until the end of the world?
Till I retire, Leo. That's the plan.
No Windows 11, in other words. No, right. No massive. You know, that's really more just a semantic, right? Because really,
it is.
It's always been that way, right? Ever since probably XP or NT, let's say NT, all they've been doing is updating the NT.
Yeah.
Kernel.
The NT.
Kind
the
of.
NT,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So in a way, if you wanted to say the last version of Windows ever, you'd have to go back to Windows NT 3.51 and say that was the last version of Windows, really. And we've just been updating it ever since.
Yeah.
Or Windows XP, if you want to talk about the consumer version.
Yeah.
All right. So it doesn't mean that much. I mean, I don't know what a Windows 11 would bring to the table, even.
Right. I know. You know, people get hung up on the numbers a lot, right? Yeah. Like, everybody was saying, this has to come out on July 29th because they're calling what were they calling it? The anniversary update number.
Oh, 1607.
This 1607. Is pretty close.
Yeah.
You know what? To me, every time I asked when is it coming out, they said on or around July 29th. So, you know, I don't consider this late.
If it wasn't for that damn leap year thing, it would have been fine.
Right.
Last 10 leap years. What is it? 4 days later. Four or five days later.
Yeah. Right.
Not a big deal. Now, I'm seeing here Insider Preview 14.372 come down. Is this that? Do we know?
It's not the final version, but it's
pretty darn close at this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the August 2 date also has the benefit of being a Tuesday.
Oh.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I'm flying that day.
And the day before Windows.
Oh, okay. It's not a second Tuesday, though, but they just like Tuesdays.
Yeah, there's something about Tuesday.
Rainy days and Tuesdays always get me down.
Yep. Always get me.
Well, you don't want to do Monday because that's the IT guy's still pretty hungover from the weekend. Yep. So you're thinking Tuesday, but you don't want to do it Friday either because then the IT guy will hate you for the rest of the weekend. So Tuesday, that makes sense. It's kind of you're in the week. You don't want to do it in the hump day. You do it on Tuesday. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes. I think we've thought about this more than Microsoft has.
Probably.
Yes.
I think we have.
Well, they picked a day. I mean, there's a reason they picked a day, right? They got. I imagine. Maybe there's some internal reason. We have code review Monday, ship date Tuesday or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing we found out was how many copies of Windows 10
was interesting. Yeah.
Right.
300? So you actually did some math, didn't you?
I do math. It's important that I do math because I'm terrible at math.
Well, the new dialog box where you get to cancel a Windows 10 update, which we'll talk about later, says 300 million. But you think it's even more than that.
Well, so 300 million was the latest data from before this announcement. That was back in May. Maybe.
Early May,
So since then, it's gone up to 350. Every time they announce one of these milestones, I kind of look at the dates and I do the math and I try to figure out, you know, how does this thing compare to Windows 7, which is regularly thought of as the most successful version of Windows, right? Remember that Microsoft artificially kind of massaged those numbers so that it always worked out to 20 million units per month. But those licenses, right, not actual sales of Windows to end users or installs of Windows on end user computers. So with Windows 10, actually, these numbers are real world numbers. These are actual people using Windows 10 out in the real world. And actually, it's been going up, right? Remember, there was a big burst in the beginning, and then it's kind of slowed down. But actually, since the beginning of this year, it's gone up each time they've dropped a number. So let's see where I am. So it was about 23 million a month. Two milestones ago, it was 24 million at the last milestone. And with this one, it's almost 29 million. Mm-hmm. And so the number of Windows 10 of new Windows 10 machines coming online every month has been going up in 2016. So it's accelerating.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. The number is actually active devices, right?
Right.
That's the way they talk about it now.
Real world activations.
But it's what, about a fourth or a fifth of the total number of activated Windows machines. Is that right or not?
Out in the world. Well, so there are we haven't heard. It's over a third. It's not over a third. It's over a fifth. So last number we had was 1.5 billion.
Yeah.
We don't know if that's still accurate, but let's say 1.5 billion. So 350 of those now are Windows 10.
A little more than 20%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? When you have a number like 350 million installs, and it's still only 20% of the total installs, it's just mind-blowing.
But again, you know, a lot of people say this is artificial because the upgrade's been free for a lot of people, and that makes it easier and so forth. I actually think this is impressive because it's real-world installs.
It's actually it's a more accurate number than ever before.
Yeah, it's not telling. Just more accurate, but also more impressive. You know, right. So with Windows 7, very successful, obviously. They booked 20 million licenses every month. You know, those weren't always going out onto machines, right? And some of them did eventually. Some of them might have been backstepped to an earlier version of Windows or whatever. But these are actual machines in use out in the world. Yeah. So I think that's, accurate, but also impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, very.
That was my segment, Paul Does Math.
Paul Does Math.
Yep, math is hard,
Leo. Yeah. I mean, Now, of course, we're coming to the end of the period, 1 month from today.
Right.
Final upgrades.
Yep.
They continue at this pace, we could figure about 380 million, maybe a bit more.
By
what, the one-year mark.
Yeah, July 29th.
And you may recall, Microsoft had a publicly stated goal of having a billion Windows 10 devices out in the world within 2 to 3 years.
Right. So mid-2018. Or so. Right?
Yes. Yeah. At the latest, yeah. So that's where they are, I guess, on that.
It's exciting.
On that goal. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. What else is there to say about that?
Let's talk about the dialogue box.
Okay.
All right. All right. What about
our favorite Windows 10 feature?
Has this happened?
Where they mug you in the hallway and make sure you get it.
Yeah.
Good question. Has this happened? They said this week.
Yeah,
this would happen.
As of yesterday, it hadn't.
Okay.
At least for me, I've been checking.
Okay.
So the new dialogue box is much clearer. Much clearer.
Much clearer.
Never has so much time been spent on a single dialogue box.
I know.
Yeah.
So this is the Get Windows 10 prompt that we're talking about, and so Microsoft said this week, okay, we've heard the feedback. In other words, yep, we hear all the gripes. You guys have complained a lot about this. And we're going to change the dialog box so that it's much clearer when people get this prompt. So you'll have a choice of upgrade now.
That's the default button.
That's the default.
Yeah.
Choose time or decline the free offer.
By the way, decline the free offer. That's a first.
That's a new button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can actually
say no. If you click the red X? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, boy. Okay. So if you click the red X in this new box, it will dismiss it and not automatically start the update.
Good.
So that's good. Good, but
it'll come back at some point.
It's going to come back multiple times.
Until you make a choice.
You have to make the choice.
Yeah.
So if you really don't want this,
that's okay.
Decline it.
I mean, I think that's okay.
But here's what I do like. And then there's four lines after that are five lines, really, that make it much clearer what's going to happen, which is uploading is free. You can go back to Windows 8 within 31 days. Your PC is compatible. And then the fine print. Yes, free! By the way, this is in italics. But then this is the most important part. Full version of Windows 10, not a trial. 3 gigabyte plus download internet access fees may apply. I think this is full. This is a fair and full disclosure. There's a link on it to Windows.com where you can learn more. And I guess it's a slideshow because there's a button and there's some dots, which means there's more.
So, Leo, as you may imagine, I have some complaints.
What the hell could be wrong with this, Paul? Come on.
Well, first of all, Leo. The problem, actually, with this upgrade, because this is appearing on normal people's computers, is that the upgrade, while it is a lot better than Windows upgrades used to be, could still fail.
True.
And there are parts during rollback where this thing could go south on people. And really,
Maybe they should say backup first.
Kind yeah, of I really feel like just even advising backup first is just maybe baseline.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, though. So in some stories about this new prompt, Microsoft officials were quoted saying, and if you have a problem with your Windows 10 installation, bring your PC into the store and we'll walk you through the backup. No, I mean,
how many people are there at Microsoft?
I know. But it's something. Something.
People should
I'm
be warned about that.
Half full person.
No, that's true. You are the yang to my yin. The other thing, though, I have to wonder about, because we're literally at a month 11 of 12 of the one-year anniversary here. What took them so long? Like, why? Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of griping. They gave somebody they paid somebody off recently, who was suing them. I guess we'll get to that.
Yeah.
This thing was so provably bad, and they made it worse over time instead of fixing it. So I'm glad they fixed it. I really am glad they fixed it. But I have to wonder what took them so long.
I feel like it was almost that they pushed till they pushed too far.
Yeah.
And got a lot of complaints and suits, and now they're stepping back a little bit. And I don't think it's because of this lawsuit, but I think they listen to us. I mean, we've been complaining. They listen to you guys.
Sure.
And they've been listening to users, and they said, oh, yeah, I guess we went too far. This is what they should have done all along, though, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, just having a choice that says, no, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Decline, free, off.
That's nice.
And it's clear. There's no shell game kind of razzle dazzle.
Well, actually, we don't know that. What if you're mousing over to that I don't want it link and the dialogue actually moves with the mouse? So you can't click on it.
No, you can't click it.
It's not over yet.
Maybe you have to do a HoloLens gesture.
Yeah.
It feels like a shenanigan free dialogue box.
Shenanigan
free.
Yeah.
It does.
Nice. Well, yeah.
That's kind of how they should be doing these things.
I agree. Yeah.
These are, I think Microsoft, this is true of all of the tech industry. It's engineers. You saw Silicon Valley last week where they had an app that engineers designed and understood and loved, but real people just didn't understand it and nobody wanted to use it. And that's the problem in Silicon Valley in general is, or in Seattle too, and everywhere else where tech is designed. Engineers design it.
Sure, sure.
And in Microsoft's case, they design it also for knowing IT people and businesses. And they forget that really a lot of those 350 million people are, normal people who don't.
Yes. Hopefully.
Well, but they don't think the same way. And even then, the vast majority of them are going to go, oh, good, free. And do it and be fine.
I think I mentioned this. I mean, my wife, who's a very smart person, when these types of dialogues pop up on her computer, she drags them down to the corner so she can't see them anymore.
Yeah.
Because she just doesn't care.
That's not dumb. And I don't want people to think I'm saying dumb. I'm just saying they don't think that in the same way that engineers do.
Like, this free offer is not interesting to her.
Right. This actually... And this maybe is the mindset that they should start thinking. I'm trying to do something here. Stop bugging me.
Right. Like when you use a hammer to put a nail into a wall, it doesn't say, if you got an electric hammer. Yeah.
You don't mind Microsoft Bob hammer. I see you're hammering a nail. Would you like some help with that? But this is not the first time. This goes on over and over. And with apps and with everything is that there. I don't know. Maybe you need a separate division that doesn't understand technology to design this stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. It is kind of relentless.
Yeah.
And even focus grouping doesn't seem to solve these problems.
No. I think the point in making the dialogue box annoying was, and they say it every time when you talk to somebody. No, I think it was intentional. And I think they really believe it's in users' best interest to upgrade. Okay. I understand they think that, and I actually like Windows 10 on my laptop, as I've said before, but I don't think you should assume that Microsoft knows best for all users, and so you should just do what Microsoft says. And that's kind of how this all went down.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's a witch.
That's the Apple way. That's the Apple way, right? That's how Apple does
it. Right, right.
So we know what's best for you. And,
right, but the new box, yay. Everybody was happy to see this. This is
how it should have been.
Yep. Great. We should give them kudos when they deserve kudos. So it's 11 months late, but yay.
Yeah, a little
we
late.
Do the same thing with our advertisers. Advertisers, businesses often have this old school state of mind where you have to kind of trick people into buying your product.
Yeah.
And remember, that was like in the 60s, that all ads were like, you have bad breath. You don't
yes.
This is what your coworkers won't tell you. You stink. And and the whole idea yep. was to coerce, trick, bully, browbeat people into buying your product. And it's taken us a long time as sure. in the podcast industry to convince people, no. People are smart. You want to do right. this with integrity. Tell them what yep. you offer them and give them the choice and leave it at that. You don't need to trick people.
That's why we use subliminal ads now on the Twit network.
But you got to blame marketing people. Actually, I shouldn't sure. blame engineers. Engineers designed the box, but it's the marketing people who are saying, how can we get sure. More people to sure. do this?
Yeah. Could this be a little more aggressive? Could we maybe do something with the red X in the corner where it did something really hilarious?
And that's the internet consumer is smarter than that and is information driven. And if you just give them, just treat them like people.
Yeah.
I know it's sometimes
my
hard.
Customers think they're people.
It's hard. We turn down advertisers. There's a particular sector where you buy something online and they advertise a very low price and you buy it and then you get to the checkout and the shipping is more than the price of the product. We've all seen this.
Yep.
And the whole thing is, most people by the time they get to that point, they don't even pay attention or they say, oh, well, screw it and I'm going to buy it anyway. They're tricking you. And we refuse these advertisers because it's tricking people. It's not right. And it's not good for your business in the long run, but it's hard to convince people of that. I gotta tell you, I see it all the time. We thought Microsoft would be above all that, but they've learned.
Let's hope.
and we still think that they're going to charge on the 29th, right? A month.
Yes.
Yeah, they've been very clear about that.
I know. We should restate this again because today I had so many people saying, you know what? Now that the date's August 2nd, I'm positive they're going to extend that free
mm-hmm,
offer.
Mm-hmm.
We really do not think they are going to, based on everything we're hearing.
By the way, the 29th is the day when that expires. It's
not August 2nd.
Right. It doesn't go to the 2nd.
That's right. So as of...
And what time? July midnight, 29th?
Oh, is it midnight?
12:01 a.m.? What is
Listen, if it's the 29th and you're worried about what time this thing expires, that's...
Don't cut it. But I'll tell you why I ask. We talked about this yesterday with Steve Gibson. He said, okay, now, Leo, somebody wrote in and said, well, can I upgrade to Windows? I don't want Windows 10, but I don't want to pay for it. So can I upgrade now and then downgrade and then I have the license forever? And I said, Paul Thurrott told me it's okay. Do that.
Thank you for putting it that way.
But it's still that's the case, right? It's an entitlement.
That is the case.
Your machine is now entitled and you can do it later.
Right.
So if you're really at all worried,
just do that.
The problem is it's kind of a pain in the butt because you got to back up.
It is.
do it, but understand that it doesn't always work. That's one of the problems.
That's why you have to back. You have to image your drive. We even talked about this. Image the existing Windows install.
Yeah, there you go. That would do it. You could also get on the Insider Preview, I suppose, and tie it to your Microsoft account. That's a new feature they just added a couple builds ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah. But it's still tied to the hardware, right?
It is, but this is the final piece of the puzzle. So, in other words, if for some reason that goes south, which is the thing I've been concerned about...
You can download an ISO and reinstall.
And it's tied to your Microsoft account. So you actually have I assume it's a product. You haven't done it yet, but you have an extra association. It's not just Windows 10 okay in this hardware. It's Windows 10 okay in this hardware with this
guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Or gal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still, you got to, best thing to do would be image your drive. You can't, now this was a secondary question, which I'm not sure the answer, maybe you do.
Yeah.
Somebody in the chat room said, well, why don't you just buy a second drive, install Windows 10 on the second drive?
We're jumping through a lot of hoops here. Just install Windows 10.
truth is, you might actually like it.
Yeah.
You might.
You never know.
Right.
Stranger things
could do
have happened.
You could do all those things, right? But... I don't know.
So you think it would work? Because here's what Steve's concern was. Well, but the drive has a serial number. That might be part of the Windows authentication. I don't think that's the case.
Well, so there is a hash or a number that's generated that's some kind of combination of various components in the system. It's just like product activation, so it literally is product activation.
It's the same as Windows Genuine Advantage that was that same hash. Okay.
The parts are weighted, so the motherboard and the chip are obviously the most important part. People swap hard drives out regularly. People swap out optical drives. People add, you know, hard system. Those kind of things shouldn't be a problem. It's the massive system redo that's the problem, because that thing doesn't look like the same PC.
Yeah.
But didn't it say in the notes for that build, if you swap out a motherboard, it will work if you tie it to your Microsoft account?
I think that was the point of the...
Interesting.
That was the point of the Microsoft account.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
It was for massive hardware changes.
But you could still associate it. But what survived? What? I'm using the same RAM and case.
Right.
Yeah, I know. I actually
don't really know exactly how this works.
Right.
That's
so
the problem is Microsoft's never told us how that hash is made.
That's not actually the problem. To me, the problem is the who owns the product key. Let's call it the product key. Right. You know, in other words, to date, you've associated a machine ID, let's call it, with your... It's okay to upgrade this thing to Windows 10 or install Windows 10. That to me is very clear. If I give this thing to somebody else, they can install Windows 10. It will always work. It's clear.
Yeah.
But when you add a Microsoft account to the mix, you're kind of taking ownership of that thing as well. It suggests that you could use that license to install Windows 10 on what is essentially a different computer.
Mm-hmm.
And you could claim it was a massive hardware failure. Or
but they haven't really told us how that works.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
This is still a gray area, Leo, I guess. Maybe the important thing here is not to rely on this.
Right.
So, you know, we're 1 month away from this thing expiring. If you want to get the free Windows 10 upgrade, you might want to just get it now.
Your best bet would be to image the drive before you do
Oh, right, for backup purposes.
Backup purposes.
That's true. Yep.
Download a drive imagers and image your drive, and that way you've got it. And, you know.
Yeah.
And that's...
It's depressing to think. I mean, how many PCs out in the world there are right now where the people who own those things don't have the restore disks, don't have a way to make those restore disks in many ways.
Yeah.
There's no way legally to go up on the web and download a copy of Windows 7 for most people, or whatever, Windows 8 one. Windows 8 one actually might be out
you
there.
You could get a Windows 7 ISO, can't you, from Microsoft?
Not... Really,
oh.
You know, not easily.
You can get a 10 ISO.
10 and 8. 8.1 you can get, or 8, I guess 8. Mm. I don't know, whatever version. 8X. But 7, they took that away. That used to be there, and then we popularized it, and now it's gone. So I don't
know.
7's a little stickier.
One more question, and I know we've answered this a dozen times in the last year, but I want to just,
July 28th, it's midnight.
I think people will be upgrading this month more than maybe. Can I do a clean install?
Not the first time. So if you get the free upgrade, you have to upgrade. And then you can do a clean install.
So upgrade in place.
Actually, for now, you could, if you have your product key, you could use your Windows 7 or Windows 8 product key to do a clean install.
Yeah.
Yes, you could do that.
If you had the product key.
But if you have the product key.
A lot of people don't, you know, and maybe don't know enough to get BellArc Advisor or something like that that will extract the product key, but you could do that.
Oh, a lot of the older PCs will have it on the power brick, on the back of the computer.
Right.
On the bottom.
Yeah, it will be somewhere.
And Mary Jo wrote an excellent, actually, no, I guess Ed Bott wrote this on ZDNet, an excellent post on what the rules, the really, really extensive rules for the Windows 10 anniversary update.
Sure.
And this, you know, this is all everything we've been talking about. But this is another good post on the ZDNet blog for keeping. Just bookmark it. Mm-hmm. You'll probably need it.
I know. Yeah.
Hopefully you won't. But yeah.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, the people are technical enough to worry about things like imaging drives and putting a second drive in the system.
That's
and all
not
that.
The problem. Those people aren't the problem.
Yeah.
Right.
The problem's going to be the person who is enticed by this upgrade. They do it. They don't like it for some reason, want to go back, or it doesn't work for some reason. Yeah.
Like the Sausalito travel.
That's an even worse example.
Yeah.
I showed the story to Lisa a couple of days ago when it broke in the Seattle Times. And I said, this woman's just down the road a piece. She's a travel agent in Sausalito. We should get her on. She says, I don't want to talk to her. She said, I don't. And she's right. This is just some litigious person who said, well, you can me up. And I don't. And of course, Microsoft paid her off $10,000, big deal, to have her shut up.
Are we all going to get $10,000? Because this happened to my wife as well.
Well,
my wife also, by the way, has a Jetta TDI wagon, and she's really upset about Volkswagen as well. So
Stephanie's going to get a nice payout on that TDI, I think. I think, what was it, $15 billion dollars earmarked for that. But
I'll let you know when I'm retiring.
But Stephanie's not litigious. She's not going to hire a lawyer and say, I lost a lot of work time trying
but
to
she
struggle.
She is a bitter, bitter woman.
She may be angry. So yeah. what is the story of this travel agent in Sausalito?
Great. So there was a travel agent in Sausalito who said she never agreed to take Windows 10, but somehow it just downloaded onto her computer.
Okay,
and then when she tried to roll back, she could not, and it cost her several days of business. She sued Microsoft. Microsoft decided not to appeal because they thought it would go on and they'd lose more money potentially. So they settled and paid her $10,000.
Well, what if it turned into a class, right?
So a lot of people have asked, is this a sign that we're going to see a whole bunch of class action lawsuits over Windows 10? And I believe because of the way the EULA is written, there will not be.
Really?
I think there's language in the EULA for Windows that prevents you from engaging in a class action suit like this.
But is that
enforceable? But I'm not 100%
sure. And is that enforceable?
I know.
Because you can put stuff in a EULA and then the judge can say, yeah, but you still get to sue. You can always say you can't sue. Doesn't mean you really can't sue.
Right.
Right.
But a lot of people were kind of trying to connect, Microsoft pays $10,000, and then they changed the dialogue box a day later.
No.
Yeah, but that's
good. I know. I'm not saying it. I'm not wearing my tinfoil hat right now, but I can see why some people thought that.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't think those are related. That's coincidental.
I think so.
And I don't think it establishes a precedent either.
Yeah.
She has a specific claim, which is not that her PC is worth $10,000, but that she lost that much business because she couldn't do what she needs to do for her business, which is get online.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a kind of a specific situation. What I wonder about, though, is to our knowledge, everybody at some point has to click a button that says, yes, go ahead, or yes, I want it. Or is that not the case?
I don't know.
We always hear that is the case. But
there's always the EULA. But by that time, it's too late. And maybe that's what she said is okay to the EULA, and then or no to the EULA, and then it tried to roll back and failed.
She could have been one of those people who clicked the red X before the behavior changed, and then it started installing. Right. We don't really know what happened in her case.
Yeah, we never will.
No. I do know, because when I was writing about this, I looked up class action suit and Windows 10, and back
the number three Google search this week.
It kind of was a popular search.
I sue these guys?
Yeah. I think back in the fall, there were a bunch of people kind of agitating, should we do this? Should we join forces and try to get into a class action suit? And since then, there doesn't seem to have been a lot of momentum.
There is no class action suit at this time.
As far as we know, but I asked Microsoft, are there other outstanding cases like this? And they wouldn't answer.
Yeah. Well, you guarantee. I guarantee there are.
I think so. Yeah.
Whether there's merit is another matter.
Right.
And I'm all for users and all that stuff, all that jive. But
yeah.
I don't.
10,000 a user though. That would be costly.
What is 350 million times 10,000?
Yeah, exactly.
That would be expensive.
Could add up.
Yeah.
And finally, good news for Mary Jo Foley and her icon.
Does anybody here have an icon?
Anybody?
Icon.
The sky.
Anybody? Anybody?
There's always
icon?
One.
I know.
Icon. Anybody?
Yep. No. Great. So guess what? Windows 10 finally came to the icon last week. Woo! Come on, people. Let's have some applause.
Wow. Tepid applause.
That's a friendly home crowd right there.
That's a friendly home crowd. So, of course, the minute that happened, everyone started tweeting to me, Mary Jo, so you're coming back. You're going to leave your Android phone now, right? And you're going to come back to Windows 10. No. Sorry. But here's why.
Why?
Okay.
There are a few reasons.
My icon's 2 years old.
Yep.
This is 2 months old. I paid $600 for this stuff.
By which you mean the Nexus 6P from Google.
Yeah, this Nexus 6P, this lovely gold. Look at it.
Oh, stop it.
But I am really happy that Microsoft did this because they hadn't actually said they were going to put RTM on the icon. They said you could get the preview builds, but they never promised that RTM would come.
And the Icon, by the way, is
the flagship,
almost identical to the 930, which was getting the Windows 10, and has gotten the Windows 10.
And it was the last flagship phone from Verizon for Windows Phone. So it's great that that happened. I'm really happy it happened, but it's not enough to entice me to go back right now. Sorry. Sorry, everyone. I've let you down.
It's a little quieter. A little quieter that time.
Yeah. Here, let me turn up the music. They'll never notice.
Yeah, let's have some more music.
Second floor.
I think we put the audience to sleep.
Yep. It's hypnotic.
Yeah. But anyway, it's there, at least.
Do they not? Just whisper this. Do they not?
They're all leaving now. They're leaving on that.
Is your monitor there that they know they're on camera, or do they don't know that? And did you get them to all sign releases? Just out of curiosity. Or am I going to
have a EULA that everyone has
to go through this and fuzz out all those faces? Is that what I'm going to
do? Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break, and we'll all get you the shrink-wrapped EULA here in a moment. But first, a word from Blue Apron. I know Mary Jo likes her. You love your Blue Apron, right? You got the vegetarian version, which is
very
awesome.
Good.
Yeah. Have we ever sent any to you, Paul? Would you like a Blue Apron?
I would like one. Yeah. I got one a while back.
Okay, we'll send you both another one.
Well, let's pretend otherwise.
Yeah. No, this is awesome. So, even if you're not a cook, there is something magical about cooking a meal for your family especially, where it's, I don't know, I've always felt like it's a way, okay, this sounds corny, to show love. I mean, it really feels good to cook for your family. But who has time? We're all working. You get, at the end of the day, the last thing you want to do is go shopping, meal planning, find a recipe. That's why I make the same four things every day, every week. Blue Apron means you're going to get home and, wow, look, there on the doorstep, my Blue Apron box arrived. Inside, three meals, everything you need to make those meals. It's actually six meals, or you get the family plan, it's even more. It's not frozen, so the meat, the fish, never frozen. And by the way, seafood is sourced sustainably. Beef is raised humanely. The chickens are free range. The pork is all natural. Regenerative farming practices are used for the produce. It's all from local farms. Pick the peak of freshness. These are the good ingredients. You're getting the very best ingredients. They use 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S. for the best quality. And then you're going to get a recipe that's unique, that's weird, that's different. I say weird, but deliciously weird. They have, of course, on their website, lots of videos. You get an interactive recipe page that gives you everything you need to know. And actually, let's look at what's on the menu this week, because there's always something incredible. Empanadas de picadillo with cucumber, tomato salad, and lime crema. You're going to be cooking stuff that you will love. You'll be making meals like you would find at a fine restaurant. And you also feel pretty proud. Brown butter and gnocchi with summer squash, almonds, and soft-boiled eggs. Eggplant tagine with couscous, chickpeas, and feta cheese. Now, by the way, you get to look at the recipes and pick what you want. If you pick the family plan, there are kid-friendly ingredients. So you get spiced steaks and tomato avocado salad with creamy cones, cabbage, and red onion slaw. Or zucchini and mozzarella pizza paninis. And the thing is, you can cook this all yourself within 40 minutes or less. You'll save time and money. Shopping at the grocery store is going to be 60% more expensive than Blue Apron. I think lots of times people think, oh, I got to be paying a premium for these products. No. No. And better yet, we're going to get you your first three meals free and free shipping to 99% of the continental United States by going to blueapron.com/twit. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. And I tell you what, this is if you've got kids, this is the time to teach them how to cook, to give them a love for fresh, wholesome food, not fast food, and to show them how to make it. You're giving them something that they will use for a lifetime. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone while supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. This isn't just a dinner in a box. This is world-changing, life-changing. You're going to love it. We got your first three meals free, so there's really no risk, including free shipping. Go to blueapron.com/twit. I think you will love it. We take you back now to the Microsoft Store.
Sure.
Where Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are surrounded by strolling musicians and an audience
of... I think I saw a mariachi band earlier.
...half-drunk Frenchmen enjoying Windows Weekly. Hey, guys. I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that to you.
Would you add the rain sound? I like that.
Would you prefer that? Yeah, I could do that. Except it's not rain. Is it a nice day in New York? Is it hot?
Yeah, it is. It's hot.
You walk in the shade between buildings. It's the most beautiful day in the world. And then you turn the corner and you're in the sun, and it's absolutely
that miserable. Giant ball of fusion in the sky. I hate that. I hate that.
Yeah.
All right, moving along as we continue Windows Weekly from the Microsoft Store on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan.
Is that background noise actually from this store?
That's funny. You mean the guy, Django Reinhardt, strolling down the avenue? No.
It's like that moment in the movie where you realize you made the horrible mistake and it's a musical.
Right.
The guy starts singing.
Or worse, oh my God, it's a Woody Allen movie.
Yeah. Clint Eastwood sings.
What have I done?
Yep.
All right. Surface. Oh, I love this deal, by the way. I don't know if you even mentioned this. If you're a student and you get a Surface Pro 4, you get a free Xbox One.
Right.
Guaranteed to raise your grades. Mom and Dad, just a hint, keep the Xbox One at home.
Sure.
Stephen King says he wasted his college years playing Hearts. Imagine what it's like for this generation.
He turned out okay, though, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, you can't say it was a bad thing. And just anyway, Surface 4, Surface... What? Surface 3, there, it's over. Almost. Almost.
Almost. Yeah. Nothing like
Why would you buy the 3, though? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Hey, don't buy this. We're going to kill it at the end of the year.
I know. That was a weird announcement.
They
didn't announce it. We asked them and they told us. So we've been noticing that there was a shortage in some stores of the Surface 3. And the Surface 3 is the Atom-based Surface that Microsoft came out with last May.
Oh, yeah. You don't want that one.
Well, a lot of people did because it was kind of like for the budget-conscious user.
Good for students.
Right. Good for students, good for families. And they also came out with a couple LTE versions of the Surface 3. And so we asked them, you know, hey, it's kind of running out at the stores. What's the deal? And they said, well, we're going to stop production of this in December of this year. So that's it.
But that doesn't mean stop sales.
It did not mean stop sales. It also did not mean... that there won't be a Surface 4. They didn't say that.
Right.
But we just don't know.
This ties in nicely to your story about the next hardware gen on Surface being spring of next year, next year.
Right. So there's been a rumor for a while that it won't be until spring 2017 that we see the next Surface Book and the next Surface Pro. But we didn't know if and when we would see a Surface, a plain old Surface, Atom-based. And we still don't know. No one's saying for Microsoft, will there be one? Will it come out this year? Independent of what we think is going to be the big bang hardware launch in the spring, we don't know. So if you do like the Surface 3, I would guess that prices probably will start going down as the year moves forward, as they try to clear out the rest of the inventory. So you might want to hang on if you want that device.
I don't know. The more time that goes by, though...
It's a little more dated.
It's not so much the processor, but the eMMC storage is so slow on that device.
Yeah.
If you could swing it, you know, a Core M Pro 4 would be a better machine.
Right. So they aren't saying when the next Surfaces will come, whether there will be an Atom-based one. There's been speculation back and forth. Paul and I have even talked about this. Whatever becomes the Surface phone or the Surface mobile take the place of this, maybe.
Right. That's my running theory.
Is it? Yeah.
Well, I mean, as of last week, I talked to someone who confirmed that Surface phone is happening. It's still happening. I had heard about Surface phone a long time ago now, and it's been a while. And I actually talked to someone last week about this. I wasn't told this explicitly, but if you think about the Elite X3, and how that might compare to a Surface phone, I think it's going to work like it does now with these Surface Pro 4 clones we see on the marketplace, like the HP Elite X2, the ThinkPad S1, the MateBook that just came out. Microsoft is allowing PC makers to use their design and make their own devices based off of it. And I sort of am starting to think that the Elite X3 is that device for Surface Phone, mm-hmm. and this is the model. You know, that it's going to be a PC that is also a phone.
Yeah, could be.
So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens there. But I think that's a decent theory for the future of this kind of product. Right, that mm-hmm. that could replace the Surface 3.
Yeah.
Good. Panos Panay leads a tour of the Surface HQ. Where do we see that? I want to see that.
If you click the link, it's a YouTube video. Raphael grabbed that off the
shot
screen.
Vertically.
Yeah, it's right. I know. Neither one of us really wrote about this, but we followed it live. When was this? Probably 2 days ago. And I don't know that there was anything super interesting in there, unless you're into manufacturing processes and so forth, and they had some materials and stuff. But I think the big takeaway from this was the Panos Panay had a band on, but it had a white or light gray strap.
Right.
And not a Sven Rudolph.
Yep.
So Microsoft Band 3?
Yeah, maybe.
Or just the strap. Band 2 with a different color strap.
It looked just like the Band 2 except for the color, so it's kind of hard to say.
It was funny. Panos was giving this tour, and he all of a sudden his sleeve goes up, and you see this thing. And then somebody must have told him, because he's like, whoop.
Well, that's good. I mean, that means he maybe was showing something special.
Because,
you know, companies do that all the time. Apple had special bands for
you should just leave it in the bar.
Leave it in the bar.
Leave it in Rattle.
You know, commemorative bands for the release of, you know, the anniversary edition. He also has a Band-Aid.
Everybody was talking about that. They're like, what happened to his thumb?
Probably slammed it in a service book.
Panos, welcome to the exciting world of the internet, where everything you do will be dissected.
I know.
Sure.
With great fun.
This tour is pretty cool, though. If you wonder how they built the Surface and all the details that they pay attention to, and he shows some of the Xbox controllers being built, all the pieces of equipment they have in this building, it's pretty cool. It's up on Channel 9, I think. And
Where does his sleeve go up, though? At the beginning, or...?
It was like partially in. It just went up for a second, and then you saw it, and then somebody must have said to him, "Oop."
Because he's got like sleeves that are abnormally long. It's kind of like a Dr. Seuss character or something. Obviously trying to hide his tattoos.
Yes.
I was going to say a Tim Burton character, but same idea.
Yeah. Edward wristband hands.
Edward Panos hands.
Panos hands. I'm looking for the moment when the sleeve goes up.
Yeah, I don't remember when it was.
It really does. He really does look like he's hiding something. You know, you could have just taken the band off, Panos. You don't have to.
Yep.
You don't have to actually grab the sleeves and drag them down.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know where we're going to see it, but.
I forget how far in it is, but
he's. By the way, that's a Steve Jobs model black turtleneck, mock white turtleneck. I just want to say. This is where they design the Surface.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
They design and they do prototype manufacturing in that place, too.
Look at all these.
They used to have to outsource this stuff, right? They used to fly out to some factory somewhere that had the special equipment, but now they have it in-house. So
it's kind of fun. Isn't that kind of cool?
It is.
Yeah. I'm baffled as to the aspect ratio. It's not quite vertical phone video.
The one thing I did learn from this video, too, is that... we have literally already met everyone who works on the Surface team. There's nobody new in this video.
No, there were two people I didn't know.
It's really funny how
we knew a lot of them.
It's just the same guys, you know.
Yeah. There's a CNC milling machine. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's really nice that all the big companies now do this, but
Well, what was really interesting was there were some secret things in here because at one point in the video. The guy with the camera goes over to this big black box, and he says to him, what's in the box? And Panos is like, don't open that box.
Oh,
and,
I love that.
Yeah, and then the guy was like walking towards it, and he goes, get away from the box.
Oh,
and
that's
was like,
hysterical. Maybe they just did that to tease
him. I don't know. Panos did look a little alarmed in the video.
Don't open the box. What's in the box?
Don't open the box.
Yeah.
Interesting. There's the recycling bins where they throw the unused prototypes.
Exciting.
Yeah. Oh, and here we go in the NI room, the nitrogen room. Oh, no, I'm sorry, plutonium. So they're named after elements.
Yep.
Yeah.
to get clearance to go into this building, you need all these crazy extra levels, like, and only certain badges, not all blue badges open this building, only some. So it's the, very locked down.
This is the executive sauna on the right there, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do have curtains, though, and that, you know, that's
great. Here's the fort made of old Zunes.
We have that here. It's called the No Hole. Wow. That's, oh, so this is cool. That's on Channel 9 if people want to see the hole. Yeah. It's fairly long.
It is long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's 50. It's an hour tour.
It's unclear why they did it. It's just kind of, you know, they announced we're going to do this, and they did it, and don't know why.
Good on them.
Scientific. Yeah.
I like that. I think more companies should do things like that, frankly.
Yeah.
It's nice to see behind the curtain.
It is.
Let's see. Two things turned 5 years old this week.
Hmm.
Google Plus.
Oh.
How's it, like, what? Okay. How's it doing? And Office 365. I can't believe it's 5 years old.
I know. I couldn't either.
Was it designed as a Google Plus competitor?
I don't believe so. But it was designed to be a competitor to Google in the cloud, obviously.
Sure.
So I went back and I looked. Somebody said to me, hey, it's 5 years since they launched Office 365 as of this week. And it is, which, like Paul said, it seems crazy because it seems, in a way, it's a lot longer. In some ways, it's a lot shorter. But, you know, there was the precursor to Office 365 that was called BPOS.
What a great name.
Unfortunate acronym.
Just terrible.
meant Business Productivity Suite.
Yeah, online suite. Yeah.
And Microsoft had that in the market for a while. Then when they announced Office 365, I think it was back in 2010 when they first announced it, they said, we're going to replace BPOS, we're going to replace Live at EDU and Office Live Small Business with this new suite. And it's going to have SharePoint and Exchange and Link, which is now Skype for Business. And if you think about how far it's come since then, now there's so many other pieces to Office 365. And it's one of Microsoft's big cash cows right now.
Yeah. It's almost as convoluted as Azure. It's kind of hard to keep track of.
It is kind of hard to keep track of.
What distinguished it from Office? It was that you could download it. No.
Right. Well,
it was a subscription. It was the subscription.
Yeah. So both those parts. So Exchange, SharePoint, and Link became services in this bundle. So instead of having to run them on-premises yourself, you could actually use Microsoft's hosted versions of them. That's right. One reason. And then if you also got plans where you could download some of the apps locally, you got that as a subscription as part of the service. So they were trying out subscriptions at that point. They were trying out running their own hosted servers.
Right.
So they Office 365 was very experimental and kind of cutting edge for Microsoft trying out what it meant to be a cloud company.
But there are two big things there that I think are super important. One is with the on-prem thing. You know, back in the day, if you deployed Exchange internally in your own data center, you didn't necessarily have SharePoint or Office Communicator or whatever they had back at the time. By putting them all together, not only is Microsoft doing it for you, but you're getting updates to everything. And now they can upgrade all of them together because they know everyone has everything. And so it's cheaper, it's a lot less a hassle, a lot less complex, and then you get a lot more functionality out of the box. And then on the client side, it's a lot more liberal. I mean, most people have multiple machine install rights, Office 365 Home, and most of the business subscriptions as well. So it's a software subscription, so you're paying forever, but it's also a lot less expensive, really, especially up front, and you get a lot more benefit out of it.
Yeah, I jumped on it right away. I mean, I thought this is a great
idea. I think it's the it's the one no-brainer that Microsoft.
In fact, I did it before they had a business version, so I got the $8 a month consumer version, and then regretted it because it didn't have as many of the.
Yeah,
I can't remember what.
So
they've
sold a lot of this, by the way. You and 22 million other people, Leo, bought the consumer version so far.
Wow.
And business versions, 70 million. Wow. 70
that's
million users.
Quite a nice monthly annuity for Microsoft.
It's not bad.
I mean, that's what they... I mean, I remember years ago, probably you and I, Paul, were talking about Microsoft's goal to become a subscription, to do software as a service as opposed to software.
And some of their early stuff was kind of embarrassing. I mean, Microsoft experimented with Office Client as a subscription, and that didn't really go anywhere. And BPOS was not an experiment, but it was kind of a different take on what eventually became Office 365 and didn't really go anywhere either.
Yeah. They still sell Office 2016. I mean, is that the last packaged Office?
I don't think it will be.
Said that. I suspect they'll always keep one around for those people that want it.
Because business needs that.
Well, no, I think there are just some people who want to buy Office and have it be attached to one PC for some reason.
Right. And they are still selling on-premises versions of all the servers. So although there is next version of SharePoint.
Yeah, that goes away over time too, right? I mean, they're starting to deploy features to the cloud versions first. They're starting to deploy features only to the cloud versions. It's kind of a natural progression.
Cool. Yeah.
And as far as this June update thing, I actually would desperately not want to go through this entire list because there's so many of these things. But this is an interesting example of how Office 365 moves forward, because one of the other big differences between Office 365 and just buying Office, just talking about client apps, is that you get stuff first if you have a subscription. Sometimes you only get it if you have a subscription.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of new features coming online all the time. And when you look at just this list, it's crazy. This is just the list for June.
Wow.
It's nuts. So they really are, even though a lot of this stuff is client install apps, they really treat it like an online service, even for those apps. And they just keep improving them over time.
Some updates in June. Were there updates?
That was
what you talked about.
Okay. We're going to skip that.
Yeah. We're going to skip that.
It's too much.
We've seen most of them, too.
Yeah.
I have to say, I today downloaded the Outlook importer for Evernote, because, of course, the big story today with Evernote is they've raised their rates. Not by a lot, just by enough, right?
It's almost like they... I think Evernote has a pretty loyal user base, and I think they're counting on that. But it was interesting to me because I received the email from Evernote. I had started, I actually was paying for Evernote. I must have let it go to a basic account when I went back to OneNote. And so I got the email from Evernote. And I didn't think too much of it. It seemed like a little bit of a blur. But then Microsoft emailed, and I thought, well, this is interesting because Microsoft has two things that can counter this. First of all, OneNote, we should remind people, is absolutely free, always free for everybody. If you want OneNote, it's free. It doesn't matter if you have a Windows PC, a Mac, a mobile device, you can have OneNote for free. So OneNote's free. But they also offer Office 365 Personal, which is that one-use version of Office 365, $70, which is exactly the same price as Evernote Premium, $70 per year, I should say. And so you get the full Office Suite download. You get the mobile app on your device. You get 1 terabyte of storage on OneDrive. And there's no cap on monthly upload space like you get on Evernote. It's just kind of like I said, it's a no-brainer. Office 365 is a no-brainer. So I know there are people who maybe need or perceive that they need certain Evernote features, and they'll stick with Evernote. But I think for most people, either just free OneNote or Office 365 is a much better deal.
Well, that's kind of why that importer is important.
Yes.
I'm torn a little bit because I use Evernote. It's I've got hundreds, probably thousands of notes in there. I've been using Evernote since 2007.
Yikes.
And it's not a lot more. I pay the yearly thing, so it's $35 now instead of whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to support them.
Sure.
But if you're using Evernote free, it's a kick in the gut because now you can only use it on two devices. So, and since you have OneNote free and it's on all the devices you want it to be on.
Yep.
I can see. Have you done the import? Have you ever tried it?
I haven't tried it. Or have I? Maybe I tried it when it first came out because I think it came out back in March-ish.
The tool, it did.
I think I did try it. Actually, what it does is you have to install Evernote. You have to have a local copy of your notes. You export them to a file, and then you can import them. I think you can import them to the cloud or to... Actually, I think it only imports through the cloud. I think that's how it works. I don't remember. It was a while back, but I didn't use Evernote for all that long. Maybe a couple of notes, a couple of months. But I used OneNote for many, many years, and I've been using it ever since as well. And of course, we use it for the show.
Right.
Yeah. So you're using two. Programs. Is that confusing or is it? I mean, I use three because I use
Google Keep as well. Use one. No.
Oh, you don't use Evernote at all?
Okay. No.
So that's one of the issues is I want to consolidate because I'm using Keep from Google for quick and fast notes. I'm using Google Drive. I'm using Evernote. And I'm
Keep
using
to Me is too goofy. It's like paste, like yellow, you know, sticky notes.
Yeah.
It's kind of goofy.
Why it's not a long-term storage for me. It's just for quickies.
But I think the one thing that they're doing right that Microsoft should look at is what Alexa does on the Echo, which is you can speak and have it go to a list. And I think that's actually a really good functionality.
Microsoft should do that. Oh, that's
cool. Yeah, it's a nice feature.
Yeah. Yeah, if this, then that has some nice integration as well. Yeah, I don't know. I'm torn. I like Evernote. I don't want to abandon them. And it's not like if they raised it to $10 a month, I would drop it. But there's, and you know, next year they'll go another buck, and eventually they'll get there.
I think at some point there's going to be a little bit of a rebellion against the subscription service thing.
There already is. In fact, you know, if you go on to Reddit, for instance, and look at the Evernote group, they're furious.
Well, but the problem with Evernote as a subscription is just that it's like this one thing, you know. Office 365 is obviously like this is a bunch of stuff.
And it's the same price, isn't it? If you get the basic.
Yeah, and that's the no-brainer part of it. Wow. I mean, I think anyone who does one thing and, you know, charges for it, it's going to be a little tough when you can get that one thing as part of something else somewhere else. I mean, I think it's one of the reasons why what Amazon does with Prime and with the music and video stuff that they do, it's going to be successful because it's like it's a kind of a gimme for someone who's already going to pay for that anyway.
Yeah, now when you put it that way, like, oh, it's the same price as you get Office 365 for.
Yeah, it's like the whole Office
that's
suite.
That's like, oh.
A terabyte of storage.
Yeah.
Oh. No limits.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. Was there a ransomware attack on Office 365, or was I dreaming?
No, it was funny. The day I wrote about the five-year anniversary, I got a tweet from a guy, so what about the ransomware attack against Office 365? And I was like, wait, what? And I went and looked, and there were reports from about a week ago of a ransomware attack on Office 365 email. So I pinged Microsoft and said, hey, what's the deal with the
Could I get attacked if I
ransomware
had the new, attack? If I got the new Outlook.com, would I get attacked?
You might. Do you want to try it?
I would love to try it.
Okay. Here's what they said about the ransomware attack. They said, according to the team, Office 365 malware protection identified the attack and was updated to block it within hours of its origination on June 22nd. They said that the Office 365 wasn't the only thing that was under attack at that time. And, quote, only a small percentage of Office 365 customers were targeted. All have been protected. So there you have it. Just because a few people asked me, that's
Bravo,
what Microsoft's right saying
on.
About it.
Wow, that's impressive. How would it do that? Is it through the macro language, the VBA?
I think it was, through macros.
Does it use VBA?
A lot of people use macros. Still.
No. And I used to do it all the time, and I just don't remember. So there is still a macro facility.
I used to do my newsletter using a VBA script in Microsoft.
It's not VBA anymore, or is it?
Yeah. I don't think it is in Office 2016. Not. But you can in Office 26 documents, you can enable macros, and they are saying this is how this happened.
It's funny. I mean, there were Office Word macro viruses for years.
We should figure out a way to put VBA in the cloud. They could call it ActiveX.
Don't bring that back.
And then Microsoft turned off the auto run of macro features, which really pretty much killed that whole ecosystem. That's tight control on that. And they need to, because that's the kind of thing people attach is Office documents, right?
Yeah.
Excel spreadsheets and Word documents.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, well, there's your Word document. I should open that. And if it's got a, you know, what could possibly go wrong? It's just a Word document.
You're about to find out.
Yeah.
Well, good. So nothing to fear here.
That's what Microsoft says.
Yeah.
If anyone hears otherwise, let me know. Yeah.
And, of course, this morning, as always, I got up early and I worked out to my office, my Xbox One Kinect, and my close personal friend, I don't know what her name is, but she's got a great midriff, and I'm focused on that.
Cortana?
Not Cortana. What's her name?
It's like Michaels.
Jillian Michaels.
Yeah.
I worked out with Jillian Michaels this morning, as I do every morning in my dreams.
Sure. Might I recommend some DVDs?
I have the Jane Fonda VHS cassettes. Yeah. Should I go back to those? So what, are they killing this fitness thing? Am I the only one using it?
Huh? Yeah, no. Well, no, you're not. I've heard from a few of those people. My wife used this for a while, actually, as well.
It's pretty cool because the Kinect can see your blood flow, so it can tell what your heart rate is. Or at least it says it can.
And so it just notices there's like a lump on the floor.
It can say work harder. Did you? Yep. Are you dead? That kind of thing. It's pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah. So I think the cost of keeping this thing up to date, because they keep having to add new content to keep it fresh and so forth, is just too daunting.
It's probably just not a big enough market, right?
Yeah.
Do they charge?
You have about a year.
Did they charge a monthly fee for that? They did.
I thought the way it worked was you bought the content.
Maybe that's it. It's like exercise DVDs. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So Jillian will never age.
Right. Well, actually, as of next summer, she won't be there at all.
I won't be able to use it?
Yeah, it will stop working.
Okay. Well, that's kind of screwed up because I bought the content.
I think, unless I'm getting that wrong, I think they're going to stop offering new content immediately.
That I understand, but I can't keep play the old content?
If you have, let's see, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, 30 plus X. Yeah, it says, will no longer work. Yeah, July 1st, 2017.
That's messed up.
Yep, yep.
Because I thought I owned that.
I know.
Okay. It's all right. I'm getting a PlayStation 4 anyway.
Well,
so much for that.
They'll never get rid of their Kinect fitness app. No, wait.
I get. as somebody, Dr. Mom's pointed out in the chat room, no, Leo, you didn't buy it. You licensed it.
Yep.
The license just ran.
You don't own Jillian Michaels, Leo.
Oh. I used to work with her on radio. We had a close relationship over the ISDN line.
Wow.
She pretended to listen to me, and I pretended to listen to her. It was great. No, at KFI, she would end her show, and then I would start my show. And they do a handoff, in radio. Yeah. Hey, Leo, what's coming up today on the Tech Guy Show? Well, Jillian.
I'm glad you asked,
I'm glad you asked. We're going to take a break, and then I think it's time for questions from our dynamic audience. Yep. So
stop mumbling in the background.
Bring in the dynamic audience and get ready because your turn coming up. But first, a word from Atlassian, our great sponsor. If you're a developer, a programmer, if you work on a team, I'm certain you know about Atlassian. But if you don't, let me tell you. I didn't until we started doing agile development with our web team in Austin, the Four Kitchens folks, and they said, okay, we're going to use Jira. And I said, oh, what is that? And they said, well, it's a board. It's a virtual board. It's online. You can check it. We can check it. We can keep an eye on it. You start by putting your user stories in there with things you want on the website to do, and then we modify them. We create tasks. We assign the tasks to a developer. The developer then moves it along through the chain. It's amazing. You can see a burn down rate. You do sprints every other week. It is incredible. It's a way of taking something super complex and making it super simple. So once I got, the Jira bug, I was interested, what else do they have? And we started using HipChat. HipChat is, as you probably know, kind of like a messaging platform, but kind of like a messaging platform is kind of like saying the Atlantic Ocean is a small creek. I mean, it does a lot more, including integrations into all the tools you use in development. We have many, many HipChat rooms. We have one for the new studio. We have one for engineering. We have one for the website, one for the apps. And the nice thing is you can have a real-time conversation, but you also have this permanent record of everything said, so you can go back, you can search. You can integrate it into many, many other tools. We've got it as an example, and I've mentioned this before, integrated into Panopto, which means I can see when our servers are slow or not responding instantly, and I get an instant alert because, of course, HipChat works everywhere, including Linux, Mac, Windows, iOS, and Android. It is really, really great. Then there's Confluence. Oh, Confluence is neat, too. I should talk about that. Confluence lets you kind of document what's going on, create and share content, organize results, bring team members up to speed. We use that to document equipment and work processes. We're glad we did, too, because as we moved to the new studio, we've got this all documented. We know what needs to be done. We know what we've done in the past and what we're going to do in the future. It's fabulous. And if you're a developer, you'll love Bitbucket. And the nice thing is these all work together. Bitbucket is basically Git code management for professionals that allows you to test, review, and manage your code in real time, to do versioning, all the things you need to do, and it scales massively. This is the best way to do Git. And unlimited private repositories. It's free for small teams of five, by the way, five or fewer. In fact, a lot of this you can try for free right now when you go to Atlassian.com. A-T-L-A-S-S-I-A-N. Atlassian.com. See how Jira, Confluence, HipChat, and Bitbucket give your team and our team at Twit everything you'll need to organize, discuss, and complete shared work. Atlassian, helping teams everywhere team up to create what's next. Atlassian, A-T-L-A-S-S-I-A-N.com. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, they are at the Microsoft Store on Fifth Avenue. If you want to run down there, it's your chance to ask questions, make comments.
Everything's 20% off.
Everything? No. Do they still have the big Minecraft table there, Paul?
No, it's gone.
Oh, man.
But they have all the stuff, all the Minecraft goodies.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys can play with HoloLens. They still have the HoloLens demo room and all of that stuff.
You have to get approval to go up there to do that.
Secret spot.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, do we have some questions?
We have some.
We have a long line of people.
all right. Now, let me ask real quickly: is this going to come in over the same channel as you guys, or is it a different Skype channel?
I think same one.
Okay.
Yeah. We've really figured out the technical stuff, Leo.
I should have asked it.
Now that it's working, I will take credit for it.
This would be a great time to thank that attractive gentleman on the left there, Mr.
Chris? Oh, you mean Andrew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's Chris, actually? I was talking about Andrew Zarian, of course, who's the bearded the bearded terrorist in the left. but thank goodness Andrew's wearing a tight T-shirt. There's Chris. Hey, Chris! So your AV team, and these guys just do this out of the goodness of their heart. Paul does a podcast with Andrew every week. What do you do on Tuesday, right? The day before.
Yep.
And where can we find that podcast? Let's give it a big plug.
GFQnetwork.com. The guys from Queens.
Guys from Queens.
It's on the YouTubes and the Pinterest.
How you doing? Hey, Paul. How you doing? GFQnetwork.com. And I see a lovely questioner wearing a very attractive Twit T-shirt. This is the new tour tee that just came out.
Nice.
Very nice.
All right, stump the hosts.
Okay, I have a machine that came pre-installed with Windows 10. And most days I have to reboot because the internet slows down at some point during the night.
Really?
To the point where it's almost unusable.
Oh, wow.
How new is the machine?
Maybe 4 months old.
I've never heard of anything.
Why don't you refer downstairs?
Yes, maybe you could go to the Genius Bar. What do they call it here?
No, I was going
to
say, you should come here and bring your laptop.
The Expert Zone or whatever they
have. It's not a laptop.
Oh, desktop?
Yeah.
Actually, you should still consider bringing it here, honestly.
To be fair, that does not happen to me on any of my Windows 10 machines.
Right, so. But Mary Jo had a really positive customer service experience here, right, at the store.
I did.
Well, then I'll ask.
Do it.
Yeah, it's worth doing. I'm sorry, I don't, like, I've
no,
not
no,
heard of anything
I just
like
wondered
that.
If you'd heard of it.
Is there anyone else whose question I can't answer?
Wait a minute. No, go away. Did you bring the tower with you so we can just put it up on the table there with Paul?
No, I didn't. Because
I think, Paul, you should
I
be doing...
I could open it up.
Yeah.
I got a can of pressed air in the bag.
Actually, what's your name, by the way?
My name, Laura.
Hi, Laura. Where are you from?
Originally from New York City.
No kidding.
Yep.
Nice to have you here. Laura, I'm so sorry Paul is an idiot. Don't let him touch your machine. It was worth a try, whatever you do, though. My strong advice, don't let him touch your machine. Well, bring it to the experts and just downstairs.
I washed my entire computer with water and it works fine.
Actually, you know what Laura often fixes the problem is not rebooting your machine, but rebooting your router. That's where I experienced slowdowns like
tried
that.
Tried that too.
It didn't help. Huh?
You really should bring it here though. Yeah,
it shouldn't be happening. There's.
I'm hoping the anniversary edition. That's all.
Was it a brand? Was it a Windows 10 fresh machine, or did you upgrade from an older version?
Yes, I came with Windows 10 on. Because
I was thinking maybe you had an old TCP/IP stack or something sitting there that had a memory leak. And, yeah, I know. You know. See, there's the tech guy kicks in. I'm sorry, Paul.
Yeah, no, good. You're doing great, Leo. You have a career potential.
I do a lot of this. I do. I get so many calls on the radio show. Hey, my Windows slows down. It breaks. It's yeah, Laura. I think you're in luck because you're you're in the right place. Uh-oh, here comes a genius. Thank you, Laura. What's your first name?
Like them.
Morrow.
Where are you from, Morrow?
Maybe you are. Oh. So where would I look?
Right. Don't look anywhere, Morrow. Look within right yourself.
Spin around. Hop.
Easy question for you guys, so you guys can answer this. Where are your top five features and that you're looking forward on the anniversary update?
Wow.
Why?
Top five.
Are there even five features?
Top three. This is a top three.
I like it. Which pick three buckets?
Yep. Well, the big one to me is extensions and Edge, right?
Same.
It makes the browser basically usable where it wasn't before.
Yeah. I agree on that one. I don't care about ink.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, it's funny, the Cortana and ink stuff is huge.
I know.
But
I really don't use ink,
those personally a lot, so it's not necessarily a big deal. I liked the idea of getting. Actually, there's still a lot of phone interaction stuff in Windows, even though they just today announced they were getting rid of messaging everywhere. I think that stuff is kind of interesting. I get Windows Phone notifications in the Action Center, for example. You know, apps were installed, whatever it was. I like that kind of thing. There's some fit and finish stuff. If you look at the way the Settings app works, or looks, I should say, I think it's a lot more attractive. That stuff is kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
I think Play Anywhere. Because I know a lot about Xbox.
So
I'm going to say
makes sense
Play
you pick
Anywhere.
That one. Yeah.
Yeah. No, actually, I would say the enterprise data protection stuff finally showing up in Windows 10, that is a big deal. Because that's something Microsoft talked about as being a big seller to enterprises. And, you know, enterprises are among the people who have not yet upgraded to Windows 10. A lot of them are piloting Windows 10, but they still are kind of, some of them are, you know, longer-term plans are holding back. So the more enterprise stuff and security stuff specifically Microsoft can put in, I think it'll get more adoption.
Are you guys planning to update on August 2nd?
Yeah.
Or are you guys going to wait a couple more weeks?
Oh, yeah. You know?
Oh, I'm already. I mean, I'm on the insider.
I'm not on the insider. So I might wait just to make sure all bugs are ironed out. But I will update this machine for sure.
Morrow, I don't understand it, but they didn't mention the obvious number one feature, Bash.
Oh, right. How did we not mention Bash?
Shell, kids.
We
can't have a show without Bash.
We will finally get, like, I won't have to be Insider, right? This will have the Bash shell
that's right.
in it. Yeah? Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
What about you? Because I know you write a lot for Windows Central and other sites.
I'm looking forward. The one I really liked is the new activation feature that they added.
Oh, yeah.
What's that? Tell us about that.
First tool I also really like because even though like you can just download the ISO, it's going to help a lot of people just click, install, and get
a It makes it available to people. A lot of people don't even know it's there.
True.
Any kind of like software, all cleaned up. So.
That's true.
That was a way better answer than our answer. Thank
it
you.
Was.
Thank you.
Thanks, Morrow.
Thank you for humiliating us.
Anybody else with a question? Go ahead. Step right up, sir. Hurry. Put the microphone right up to your lips.
Is that a Surface 3?
Yes. I'm one of the lucky few, right?
Yeah.
What's your name and where are you from?
Dominic.
From the Bronx, obviously. All right. Go ahead.
Which I bought in Paris.
You bought a t-shirt that says the Bronx in Paris.
I had to.
Yeah. No kidding.
It didn't say Le Bronx?
Le Bronx. Wait a minute. Let me make you feel right at home here. I think we can get some Bronx music.
Theroux.com. Messaging everywhere removal.
Yeah.
I never was on the fast ring. I never even got to try it.
Right.
But I'm seeing that it's on Skype.
Yeah. Well, we'll be.
We'll be on Skype.
Yeah.
So my question was, is that going to be like, I have a Windows 10 phone, but that'll be integrated that I could text someone that's a non-Skype user and it would...
Yeah.
Back and forth.
Yeah. I mean, since this is an imaginary feature now, we'll just go off of what it looked like, I guess, in the anniversary update when it was still in there. But the theory is that you get a text message on your phone. You're sitting at your computer. You get a notification. You can click on it. You can reply to it. And it goes out over the phone's
the
SMS. Yeah.
Okay. So a non-user can reply back.
Right. So It's because Microsoft can integrate that stuff into Android and Windows Phone, or Windows 10 Mobile. Those were the two platforms that were supported. I'm sort of wondering if there isn't some way to make this work on iOS now through Skype, because Skype, maybe that, you know, by making it maybe a little less sophisticated, they could, you know, get to iOS as well.
I'm in a mixed marriage. My wife is iOS. Windows.
Yeah. Oh, so. Right. Right.
Just a bonus. Xbox One Skype, was that part of that?
Oh. I don't know. I mean, it's still this is still to come. So it's post anniversary update. I mean, there's no reason it couldn't be, right? Well, but I think. I don't know.
The reason
I'm lazy. I want to do it from my TV.
Right. Yeah, sure.
The reason this is hard to answer to is Microsoft's gone back and forth and back and forth about what they're doing with Skype in Windows 10, right? First there was messaging. Then no, yes. Then everything is integrated into a universal app. Now it's not, or maybe it is, and we're not really sure.
Strategy.
So hopefully, they said we're going to hear more about this in a few weeks. So hopefully we'll hear more about where Skype's going to in a few weeks.
Thanks.
Right. Sorry.
Thank you. Appreciate the question. And here comes another questioner.
I would say.
What's your name?
Hi. I'm Chris.
Hi, Chris. Where are you from?
Philly.
Philly. You came all the way from Philly.
Did you complain earlier about the audio on Twitter? Was that you?
Yes, that was me.
I wanted to personally say that was Andrew's fault.
Yeah.
Hey, see that guy over there?
Yep. Andrew is very well capable to handle any issues, I'm sure.
Yeah, Chris, just do what you're doing, which is talk right in the microphone. That makes it sound so good.
Really?
Yeah.
Works?
It works.
Okay.
Yeah, it's magic.
All right, so I have an Xbox-related question. We know that the Scorpio is coming out, and I know that you've talked about building a gaming PC recently. Yep. What are your thoughts on... I've become more interested in a little bit more higher-end games myself recently. Yeah. Something about... Should I build my own PC? Should I wait for the Scorpio? What are your thoughts there?
It's kind of a personal thing. I mean, there are going to be PC gamers who are going to kind of recoil a little bit at this. I still think PC gaming is a little too scattered and complex. It's a lot of little silos. And so if you play a certain game, that you're kind of on that silo. And I think the nice thing about consoles and the reason they maybe are attractive to some people is that it's kind of a just works type of situation. And I think the nice thing about either the Xbox Scorpio or even the PlayStation 4.5, whatever they call that, is the ability to bring those higher-end gaming features, whether it's 4K gaming or VR, to a simpler experience. And I think that's important for some people, you know. Obviously, on the enthusiast end of the spectrum, you can really crank up the settings and do whatever you want on a PC. So it's kind of I'm more comfortable personally on the console end of it from a gaming perspective. This is where I'm coming from, but that's not the case for everybody. Mary Jo, for example.
Definitely.
I don't know. Yeah. For me, very interested to see what happens there because ever since the 360 came out in 2005, I've kind of just settled into that vibe personally.
Okay. Good. Great.
Thank you, Chris.
Uh-oh. Here comes trouble.
Let's hear from that good-looking fellow over there on the left. Hey, by the way, happy birthday, Andrew. I know it's belated, but...
Thank you.
What's he doing? What's he doing? Is he putting on earmuffs?
I don't know.
What's he doing? Oh, look, he's panning. You got a PTZ camera in there. Look at that. Oh, wait a minute. Wow. It's drifting back. Andrew. It's drifting. Wait a minute. Hold on. Oh, my God. We're losing it. Okay. Anybody else with a question?
Don't be shy. Come on up.
Come on up.
Brad
Sams is here. Does Brad Sams have a question?
Oh, let's see Brad Sams. That's good.
He just happened to be in town. He's wearing his shorts.
Nice Bermuda shorts, Brad.
Thanks for dressing, Brad.
And an Apple Watch, I might point out. I don't know what the Apple Watch is all about. But
he's got the same white band as Panos Panay.
I think it is.
It was actually my inspiration for today, was the Panos band.
Nice.
So in light of Skype moving forward as the messaging platform of choice for Microsoft, how do you think this is going to play out for them? Because Skype has a really negative connotation right now, and it's a struggling brand for the company. So this is the open-ended question that we kind of got the bombshell for this week. And where do you think they're going to head with Skype, and do you think they can actually recover by jamming more features into it?
What is the
Skype
bombshell?
Is the Rio Olympics.
Wait a minute. What's the bombshell? I didn't hear a bombshell.
We didn't really touch on that. But in the new Insider build in the Fast Ring that came out last night, Microsoft removed the Messaging Anywhere feature And they said it won't be in the anniversary update, and instead they're going to be integrating that into Skype somehow.
Oy, so Skype messaging is the platform, the one and only, right?
Yeah. So you could kind of make this argument that Skype is the logical place for messaging to be at Microsoft because it's messaging.
Right.
But you could also make the argument you're making, which is that Skype is terrible and thus shouldn't be the center of anything.
Exactly.
But, you know, actually, I like Skype, but not for messaging. Yeah. I mean, I think it's fine for what it is, video chat. Yeah. We're using it right now. We're getting a decent picture. I mean, it's good.
The issue is that as Microsoft has added features to Skype, they haven't always done it in a thoughtful way. So, right. You know, you get things like, you know, you'll ping me on Skype and my browser window will ring because I've got OneDrive open. And there's no way to turn that off. And so they don't really think through those things. So hopefully, they said a couple of weeks we're going to learn more about this. We can only hope and pray and sacrifice a chicken or whatever we do to make sure that this thing works properly.
There was a tiny hint in something, I think it was last week, that a Microsoft Power user had. They were in a Skype Insiders program, which I didn't even know existed.
Yep.
And they got an email from Microsoft that said something about redoing the infrastructure of Skype.
They're going to go back to the messenger infrastructure.
Yeah, we don't really... Right, yeah, we don't know what this means. And I asked, and Microsoft said, oh, that was an email that only went out to the iOS users of Skype. And so it may not mean anything, but it might mean something about them doing some under-the-covers work to Skype to maybe make things better.
And one last question. Does your Outlook.com account have the new...
Yes.
I just checked it at the beginning of the show.
I showed him, though.
I got to see it.
You've shown us the future, Mary.
Yeah, it exists.
Does it work well?
It does.
That's fantastic.
You know, you've been getting a lot of
spam. It looks just like this, right? No, I still have the old one.
But whenever you guys complain about getting a lot of spam in yours, I'm not getting it. So they're doing something right on my end.
Excuse me while I stare into your soul.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Brad.
So, Paul, just to be clear, you still don't have it either?
No.
I don't, no.
And it's kind of ticking down. Didn't they say this by this summer everyone would have it? August,
if it says, as I see here on mine, Outlook.com in the upper left-hand corner, that's the old
one. You don't have it.
You don't have it. No. You don't have it. Our next question. What's your name, sir?
Hootie.
Hootie, and where are the blowfish today? I know.
That's right. I just wanted to know, since Brad had like a lot of input on like before E3 about like media streaming type.
Why he lied to us? Yeah. Actually, let's call him to the carpet on that, shall we?
Have you heard anything about any hardware launches before next year, before 2017?
No.
Anything at all about Band 3 coming before anything? Nothing.
No, I mean, there are suppositions, right?
Right. Because... there's a little hint on a Band, right? Like, Band also, like Surface 3, has been deplenishing in stock, and everyone's noticing this. Microsoft is not saying when they're going to cease production on Band 2, but there have been some problems with the skin of the Band, and a lot of people have been returning them twice. Yeah. So I wonder if they might kind of come out with a Band 2.5 almost that fixes the skin.
Same design and maybe fixes that part of it. Maybe that was part of the materials that he was testing.
Right, maybe he was testing the extra
strong. It might not even have to do with the color. It's like a colorless version of it just for strength testing.
I mean, this one I got replaced probably 2 months ago, and it's still pretty good. I think it was from that new...
Did yours tear at the border between the screen? And,
twice.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Right.
Sorry, we don't know about it, but But do you want to? But what about Brad's lies? Did we want to approach that?
Brad's media streaming lies.
Yeah.
Uh oh, he's coming back.
Here comes Brad with a rebuttal.
So Mr. Goebbels.
So before E3, if you remember, Paul, I said I hated you.
Yep.
And still true.
Yep.
Still true to this day. So before E3, I got a dump of information. And people remember the media streamers, but I also got the Xbox Mini stuff.
Right.
I also got correctly that they're merging Xbox.
We're not talking about what you got right, Brad.
They're integrating their UAWP platform with games, Paul.
Yeah.
Getting all the other stuff. So the media streamers, I have all the information. I have the price points. I have the feature sets and everything. And so I think is what happened was, is I heard late that they were getting spooked that if they mentioned the word TV on stage again, they were going to have a post-traumatic like, breakdown of those videos. We've all seen the TV video. And I think that's where it's starting to come from. Because if you look at the Microsoft lineup right now, and if you're a Groove Music user, how do you get that to your home stereo? There's nothing. Nothing under the roughly $299 or $279, whatever it is right now. So they've got a big gap where the Apple TV, the Rokus of the world live, and they have the products to fix it. And it's when is it going to come out? You asked about a media event or a hardware event later this year. So we've seen the band stuff. We know that Surface 3 has now been discontinued. And so what is their holiday lineup going to be? This is what I've been trying to figure out. They can't come out in October and say Xbox One S and Surface Book and Pro 5 again. Like, that doesn't work. So
I think holiday lineup is Xbox One S and all partner machines.
You think they're going to completely abandon their own strategy? I mean, I don't know. This is what
I think
I'm
it's payback to partners, maybe.
Yeah, I actually heard that fairly explicitly from one of the PC makers. They were saying that last year was kind of a disaster for them for some reasons that maybe were unexpected. So, for example, we all know that Windows 10 upgrade was free, so that hurt PC sales. That was expected. But the unexpected part was that Microsoft, at every Windows launch, had some number of marketing dollars that they always threw at PC makers. Last year, they threw it at Surface. And so they have these charts where you can see, like, up and down as, you know, Windows launches occur with the marketing dollars, their sales go up. Last year, when Windows 10 shipped for the first time, it never happened. Yeah. And this year is kind of about a do-over. So that actually parallels to what I was told.
It'll be interesting to see what they do, because they've always had something around the holiday season to say, come to our stores and buy this stuff.
If they don't have Surface upgrades, and we don't think they will, that makes sense that they would have our partner
machines. Extenders.
Yeah, extenders.
Extenders for everyone under the tree.
Extenders.
Trade in your Surface Loop. Get an extender.
Like, yep.
Right.
Yep.
There you go.
See? Called it.
But about the lies.
Oh, boy.
That should have scared everyone else off, I imagine.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Are there any other questions, or are we... I hate looking. I can see my huge head every time I look to the right. It's terrible.
Maybe two.
Okay.
I see another guy.
Keep it
back
going
there.
As long as you want. This is fun. I like it.
There's a guy wearing a Therat shirt back there.
Yeah, that's a little suspicious.
What's your name, sir, and where are you from?
I'm Pascal from Brooklyn.
Hey, Pascal.
How you doing, everybody? My question, since Brad is here, too, by the way, just off topic, I am switching out a band today. Mine is broken, cracked at the bottom.
Yep.
My question has to do with the universal clipping, like copying and pasting of things. I think Brad knows something about it. I'm not sure. But I think either Apple or Google just announced it. And I'm like,
Apple did,
Apple did it. And I could really use that function being a Windows user. So
cross device.
About it. Yep.
Yep.
Brad, it pains me to say this, but could you please help me?
So, Paul, if you wouldn't mind just stepping off.
Yeah, I'll just slink off.
So about 18 months ago, Microsoft, an app lead out from an individual named Walking Cat. He's very good at finding these things. And it's called One Clip Beta. And what it is, it's a series of apps on your Windows phone, your Windows PC, iOS, and Android. And as soon as you right mouse click and copy anything, that app streams it across all your devices. So if you have an iPhone on your PC, you right mouse click copy, you got the link on your phone. And Microsoft has this app just sitting in their back pocket. And when Apple announced iOS Clipboard, I lost my mind because Microsoft has had this for over a year. And this is a very simple, free, great app that they could be marketing that was done. It was polished.
Was it a garage app? I can't remember.
It might have been. But, I mean, the thing that kind of led me wasn't a garage app was because it was on every platform.
Right.
And it was all ready. So I don't know if they came into some legal troubles. I can't imagine what it was, but we don't.
I
really
mean, the Apple one will only work Mac, iOS, right?
Which I'm sure. And every time I ask him, I actually asked Terry when we met him up in Redmond. I was like, "Where is he?" He goes, "I should look into that."
Where are those guys?
I think he's still looking for it. So we'll see.
Okay.
I know. I haven't heard anything about it since that. I know.
The difference, I guess, though, with Apple and Windows is Apple. Only Apple could do it, but a third party could do that, right, on Windows? It's not...
Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to provide that functionality as a third party, you could. You can't with iOS and, you know... Whoops, that's not Gay Ball. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just pushed the wrong button. That's it. We're going to wrap it up from the floor. That's a nice floor. That looks like kind of like a bird's eye maple. Just stop showing off with a PTZ, Zarian. I mean, I got it. You got a joystick and you know how to use it. I understand. It's panning, tilting. Go ahead, tilt. Let's do some tilting. Can you tilt? Let's zoom. Oh, sorry, Laura, but you're the subject of our creep cam. Today's Windows Weekly creep cam.
Just slowly zoom in.
Hey, it looks like fun there, though. I have to say, you guys are having a great time. And again, we thank Andrew, Zarian, and Chris for helping us with the, as they did last time, with the production there. Totally uncompensated, without any hesitation. That's nice of them. Let's take a break and the back of the book. Yeah, you guys want to do your tips and, you know, your software, your enterprise, your things, and maybe some beer?
Maybe not.
I don't know. What you need is a nice MLT sandwich. Mutton, lettuce, and tomato. Our show today brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're in the position, unenviable, I would say, of hiring for your company, maybe unenviable, but on the other hand, very important. You are essentially making the company, building it employee by employee. But the question, of course, is how do you do it? How do you find that perfect employee that's going to change everything, going to make your company go to the moon? Well, ZipRecruiter.com. See, the thing is, what's great about the internet is nowadays you have all these job boards. There's lots of places you can reach out to potential candidates, but how do you know where that right person is? Well, you don't have to worry anymore because ZipRecruiter lets you post to 100-plus job boards with a click of the mouse. And social networks, too, like Twitter, Facebook. So you get those job postings out there to the maximum number of people, and that's a good thing. That means you're more likely to hit that guy, that gal, who's just right for the job. They're waiting for you. And with their unique mobile application process, if you're hiring younger people, you know, millennials, they ain't doing it on their desktop. They're doing it mobile. So ZipRecruiter makes it easy. I love ZipRecruiter. We use it ourselves. You can post once. You're not going to get all those emails and phone calls to your own inbox or your own phone number. No, you get it all in the ZipRecruiter interface, which makes it easy to search by skill, location, work experience, to screen out people who are wrong for the job, to narrow in, hone in on the right person fast. They'll even help you make the offer, do the HR intake, and a whole lot more. Find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. ZipRecruiter has been used by over 800,000 businesses, is trusted by hundreds of the Fortune 500. We use it and we recommend it. I think that's where we got our, did we get our newest editor there? I think so. Right now, you go to ZipRecruiter for free and try it for 4 days at ZipRecruiter.com/windows. ZipRecruiter, post a job at ZipRecruiter and you'll be amazed at the response you'll get. 127 million candidate applications delivered. And I'll tell you, the key is to find that needle in the haystack. And ZipRecruiter's got the tools to build the haystack and help you find exactly the right employee. Try it free right now. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. Back we go to the Microsoft Store. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. Thanks also to the folks at Microsoft for making this possible. I'm sure they love having you in there.
We hope they do.
I would hope so. I mean,
like those relatives that never leave.
Like, oh, they're back. Oh.
Yeah. So let's start with Paul because I think he's got some tips for us.
This will be quick. I've started updating the Windows 10 field guide for the anniversary update. So I'm publishing some of the stuff in the book as tips. So just check back to the site. I've already put up about 4 tips so far, and I'll be doing more every couple of days now for the next forever of my life or whatever. the operation mobile app pick of the week this week is something I unfortunately can't use because I don't bank at this bank. This is actually a big deal for Windows Phone users. The Wells Fargo app is available now on Windows. I think it's on Windows 10 Mobile.
This is the success of the UWP platform. Oh, it's not UWP.
I believe it is, but it's...
I bet it is. But see, this is key because all these banks were abandoning the platform.
Right.
But UWP means, well, we're going to leverage our development and benefit from that. And I think it's telling the people... It's not that Windows Phone sales are suddenly through the roof.
No. No, but this is right. The app platform is fantastic. I mean, that's a good example. Now, on the polar opposite of that is a very strange development that I think just happened today, which is that there's a Steam app available on Windows Phone. And I guess they have this app on other mobile platforms.
Yeah, I use it on iOS.
So the weird thing is it's actually a Windows Phone 8 app. It's not a universal Windows platform app. And I think it's a third-party app that Steam bought, or it would be Steam, like a Valve bought or whatever. And I don't know why. So that happened today. I got to go take a look. I haven't looked at it yet. But it's actually a Windows Phone 8 app that just came out today, which is very strange. That's available as well.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
The app raisin pick of the week. And now Mary Jo Foley with her enterprise pick of the week.
Yes. So my enterprise pick of the week is the .NET Core 1.0 and ASP.NET Core 1.0 both went GA this week.
I challenge you to explain this to me in a way that will make sense.
Okay. So
specifically the version and naming of this.
Okay. So now that you're sitting next to me, this is a little easier. See this chart?
Yep. I feel like we've had this conversation.
We have had this conversation. Yep. So when Microsoft forked .NET now over a year ago, they had a part of .NET that they said they were going to make cross-platform .NET. Then they had the other part of .NET they were keeping as the .NET framework. This is the new .NET. ASP.NET is the server .NET. .NET Core is the core of ASP.NET. So the numbering was actually more confusing before because it was going to be .NET Core 5 and ASP.NET 5. And instead, Microsoft said, let's show people that there's a break in the platform and we're starting in a fresh new way. So that's why they called it 1. They went from 5 to 1.
Gotcha.
I know. It doesn't really make
sense. It's not as confusing as Visual Studio 15 being
No, that's not quite as confusing.
Whatever.
Right. The other part of this, though, in addition to those things going general availability this week, Microsoft showed off at Red Hat Summit SQL Server on Red Hat Enterprise Linux. We have to say Linux at least once during the show.
Yay.
Okay,
sure
so... Is. This is big because Microsoft is porting SQL Server to Linux, and up till now, the private preview has only been on Ubuntu. This week, they showed it on Red Hat Enterprise Linux. The reason this is a big deal is that's the version of Linux that a lot of enterprises use. So having SQL Server on that version of Linux is a pretty big deal. It's going to be out next year, probably by mid-2017. And they showed that off and announced those two new .NET deliverables all at Red Hat Summit, which is an interesting place to have made that announcement. So that's my enterprise pick.
Nice. And codename, yes?
Codename is Seville. This is a codename from the Vault. We've talked about it before. Seville is the codename of what is now called Windows 10 Defender Advanced Threat Protection Service, which we mentioned is part of the anniversary update to Windows 10. This is not Windows Defender. It's a whole level above that where there's an intelligence graph in Azure. They keep track of all the, like a database of threats, and they match against it. So this is a really big deal for enterprises. Why is it codenamed Seville? I have no idea. That part I don't know. But the codename is something that's been around for a while. We didn't know what Seville was for a while, and then we found out this is what it was, the Defender Advanced Threat Protection Service.
Mm-hmm.
Codename Seville? Seville? I don't know. Anybody have guesses, thoughts, why they might have codenamed it Seville? I do not.
Hot.
Because it's hot? Okay.
Does it have anything to do with David Seville and the Chipmunks? No.
Maybe not.
All right. Well, you've earned it,
and
kids.
And speaking of Spain.
You've earned it. It's time for the beer pick of the week, Chase.
Yes. The beer pick of the week is actually from Barcelona. It's from a craft brewery in Barcelona called Edge Brewing. Get it? Edge, Microsoft Edge, Edge Brewing. Cool, right? I made it the beer pick because it is on tap today at Rattle and Hum West, which is where we're going to go have our meetup now. And you don't often get to have craft beer from Barcelona, but it's here.
That's true, even when you're in Barcelona.
Even in Barcelona, right. So this, what kind of beer is this? It's a porter, which is a little hard on a day like today, but there's air conditioning at Rattle and Humbles.
So we were there earlier. I can confirm there's actually a bunch of beer from Edge
Brewing. There is. There's more there. Edge Brewing yeah. beers over there. This is a porter. I've had a little taste of it. It's like a typical good roasty porter. So if you like porters, it's worth a try. It's called Padrino, Edge Brewing Padrino. And there are many other good beer picks over at Rattle today. We're not going to the regular yes. Rattle, everybody. right. We usually go to Rattle and Hum East. We're going west today, which means Times Square. Sorry. We're going to have to make the trudge to Times Square.
It's like 406 East 39th.
Yeah. Maybe. East 39th between 8th and 9th Avenues. So anybody who's here, you're welcome to come. See you there.
I can't and wait Leo, to see the new Rattle and Hum. Yep. Yeah, drinks.
Yeah, next time you'll have to come.
Drink spacious. Some Padrino and for me. The wall in there looks exactly like the wall in Brad's office.
Full of beer. Does Brad have taps on his wall?
No, no. I mean, there's like a kind of a stonework looking thing.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Redstone.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great time at the Microsoft Store in beautiful New York, New York, Fifth Avenue. Thank you to the Microsoft Store for putting up with Paul and Mary Jo for the last couple of hours. Thank you to Andrew Zarian and Chris for setting up. What's Chris's last name?
Tobin.
Thank you to Andrew Zarian and Chris Tobin, who are nowhere to be found.
We're looking right at him.
Helping yep, him set right up there. The AV and making this work so sweetly, so smoothly. Thank you, guys.
Yes. Yep.
And to our live audience there and yes. everybody who asked questions. Hi, everybody. Thank you for coming and joining us for Windows Weekly.
I just hope you all get jobs eventually.
Thanks to everybody watching us at home, too. It's always great to have you. We do the show live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. If you want to join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv and watch the show live. But you don't have to watch the live stream because, of course, we make the audio and video available after the fact at twit.tv/ww or wherever your favorite podcasts are available on the Internet. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks, guys. Have fun at Rattle and Hum. I'll be there in spirit. Take care.
We'll be there with spirits.
Yes, more importantly. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.